time to talk with Governor Tony Evers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The 46th governor is kicking off his statewide budget listening tour this evening at UW-Stevens Point, the goal of gathering budget priorities from Wisconsinites. So what priorities do you have in the proposed state budget? What would benefit your community the most? What do you want the Evers administration to know about where you live? And what are your questions about the proposed biennial budget? We're at 800-642-1234. Email is ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Governor Tony Evers, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. So as of 7 o'clock this morning, the race for the Supreme Court was too close to call. We know Judge Brian Hagedorn claimed victory earlier this morning. And Judge Lisa Neubauer's team has already raised the idea of a recount. What are your thoughts about the state of that race and the idea of a recount?
Well, certainly if...
Are you there? I think we might have lost you. I don't think I hear you, but you can join in. 800-642-1234. If you have a question for Governor Tony Evers, who is joining us by cell phone, and the cell phone just dropped, what priorities do you have in the proposed state budget? What would benefit your community the most? And what do you want the Evers administration to know about where you live? Our number is 800-642-1234. You can send your thoughts and suggestions to ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. And what are your priorities around the state as you see Governor Tony Evers start out on a listening tour of the budget? What would you like to know from him? Are you there, Governor Evers? Oh, and he just dropped again. We're having cell phone difficulties with the governor. So let's hear from you, Wisconsinites, as we try to connect with the governor. And let's hear about your priorities. What would you like the governor to accomplish here? And what do you want him to know about the budget? Perhaps you have a call about water or health care or something else in your area. Do you live in a rural or urban area? And what is it like in your community? What needs do you have? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings as we try to reconnect here with Governor Tony Evers and look at the state of the budget, the state of his proposals. We're going to also be asking about expansion of Badger Care and what that would mean for health care. We're going to look at the findings from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau that's showing that the $2 billion shortfall at the start of the next budget cycle. Governor Evers, are you there?
I'm going to try to stay this time, too.
All right. Let's see if we can hold here. Just your thoughts quickly on the Supreme Court election and last night.
Certainly, it certainly appears to be close enough that a recount is likely. I know everybody that voted, even those that did not vote, won every vote to count. And so it's likely to be a recount, and we'll just have to wait until after that to declare a victory.
We learned yesterday that a federal court allows Attorney General Josh Call to withdraw Wisconsin from a pair of lawsuits that are challenging the Affordable Care Act. You ran on a pledge to withdraw Wisconsin from these suits. So what does this mean for health care in the state and for Wisconsinites?
Well, certainly it's a step forward. We never believe that we should be in the position of restricting or not providing protections to those people that have pre-existing conditions, and that's exactly what we are doing. We are on the campaign trail saying we want to protect those pre-existing conditions. At the same time, we are in a lawsuit saying let's get rid of them. So I think it's a huge victory, if nothing else, about the need to message to the people of Wisconsin that we do care about pre-existing conditions.
Well, let's turn to Wisconsin's purse strings and your proposed budget. The report from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau shows that the plan, if adopted as written, would result in a nearly $2 billion shortfall at the start of the next budget cycle. Is that amount of structural deficit healthy for Wisconsin to take on?
Well, Wisconsin's been taking on that structural deficit for many, many years. You know, several, and this is kind of weedy, but essentially if probably several decades ago that I remember that the legislature determined that they didn't want to pay school districts in the fiscal year they should get it, and then pushed it off until a subsequent year. And as a result of that, we've had structural deficits ever since. And I think there we need to reduce the structural deficit, but it means then now paying two of those large payments in one year. And we've gotten along without making this change. Obviously, we're going to struggle with that again, but it doesn't mean the budget is a balance. The number of revenue and expenditures are balanced. It's just that in order to kind of balance the books, we pay that one huge payment to school districts in July when we used to pay it in June.
Well, GOP leaders of the legislature's budget committee say you're spending billions the state doesn't have for a liberal wish list. What is your response to that?
Well, that's what these listening sessions have been all about. We did listening sessions last December. Lieutenant Governor Barnes and myself went all across the state saying, okay, we were elected, and we're elected for change. What issues are important to you? And we use that information to form a budget, and that budget is what we proposed to the legislature a few weeks ago or a month ago now. And so it's reflective of the needs of the people of Wisconsin. They asked us to deal with the issues of health care and making sure that our roads are in good shape and that we have a good education system. So our budget bill is balanced, and we think it's a good one.
We're going to talk transportation in just a bit, no doubt. But Do you think that a lot is riding on your proposed Medicaid expansion? Because you'd be looking at an infusion of federal dollars that would free an estimated $320 million in state revenue over the biennium.
Well, certainly there's a lot of riding on it, and that's the reason we're doing it. We've left over $1 billion of our own tax dollars on the table in Washington, D.C., because my predecessor did not take advantage of expanding the health care system in Wisconsin to make it affordable and accessible. So we hope to be able to do that and gain over $300 million in federal money that will help us take care of some really important needs like infant mortality in the state of Wisconsin, especially among women of color, is high. We have to address that. We have mental health issues, opioid drug issues, and so we're taking all that that infusion of money from the federal government to make our system affordable and accessible, and that's exactly what we talked about during the campaign, and we're going to follow up with that.
Well, let's take a call now. Let's go to Jeff joining us from Delafield. Jeff, hi. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have some concerns regarding criteria for school funding. We just defeated our referendum to exceed revenue limits last night. And in the discussion up to the referendum, there was data presented as to funding per pupil in other school districts or all around Waukesha County. So within the same county, there's a big difference in funding, state funding, I believe, for per pupil, and ours was much lower than some others. So our school district's going to have to make some significant cuts. And that's hard to understand when the school district right next door is getting more money per student from the state.
Jeff, thank you. What do we know, Governor, about disparities in per pupil funding?
Well, it's been there for a long time, and we've worked hard over the last, I've worked hard over the last 10 years as state superintendent to address that issue. The reason school districts like Delafield and others are going to referendum is because the state hasn't met their obligations. And that's exactly what we have in our budget. It's a large budget increase of over $1 billion. And what it does is it distributes the money fairly, and it distributes it in a way that reflects the needs of a school district, not just, you know, Delafield gets $1 and another district gets $1 and everybody gets $1. It's if your school district has more kids or more children that have significant learning issues, whether it's kids with disabilities or kids that come from poverty. My theory has always been if a kid needs an extra lift, they should get an extra lift. And and sometimes that costs more money. And so equity is a watchword that we use to describe our budget, and we think it's a good one. And I think the people in Delafield will do well under our system. There's no reason why we have so many. There is a reason, why we have so many districts going to referendum. Sometimes it's a building program, but most of the time it's just money to keep the doors open. And we think that's an unsustainable position for school districts to be in.
Governor, Republicans have said they'll reject your proposed budget outright, write their own. Would you consider any changes to lower spending in your budget that would get Republicans on board?
Well, the budget is what we proposed. I haven't seen a counter proposal from the Republicans. And, the only thing I know is that both sides want to get to 2/3 state funding for our schools. And that's a good thing. The bad thing is that they're taking a little different way to get there from what I understand. So, no, I'm not in a position to say that we're going to give, but I will also say, though, that I've always believed that finding common ground is an important attribute, and that's what we're all hoping to do. So we're hoping to make sure that school districts, kids with disabilities and those that need mental health services get that and have a fair funding system for our schools and for our kids.
We're talking with Governor Tony Evers. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. How do you want Wisconsin to look in 2 years when it's time for another budget cycle? What policy steps do you think that the state needs to take right now? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with more discussion with Governor Evers right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking with Governor Tony Evers about top issues hitting the state on the day he starts a budget listening tour in Stevens Point. And you have a line at 800-642-1234 as we look at these top budget issues and what you face in your community. Let's go back to the phones now with Peter joining us in Madison. Hi, Peter. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have one comment first, and that's, to be honest, I really appreciate the budget because I do have a child with special needs. So, it's really great to see somebody actually cares. But I wonder about the ending the embargo on marijuana distribution so that we could actually generate revenue to pay for some of this budget. And then also just kind of wondering what other options the governor's been thinking about for generating new taxable revenue without really impacting too much of the general population.
Peter, thanks for the call. Governor, let's first focus on the issue of marijuana and legalization. Where are you at with that?
Well, our budget includes two things. One is to make sure that those that are charged with small amounts are charged with a crime for possessing a small amount of marijuana, that it's decriminalized, that it's no longer a felony. And I think that's important for a whole number of reasons. One is we have had many, many referendums across the state that have not dealt with this issue, and the overwhelming number of people want to make sure that make sure that it is not a criminal offense for small amounts, but B, would like to have medicinal marijuana available. So those are the two things we're dealing with in this budget. This could mean at some point in time that recreational marijuana might be a possibility.
Do you see traction with lawmakers at all?
Not much. In the medicine side, the medicinal side, we do. And so that's where we're starting this conversation. So there might be some, benefits as far as, well, there's certainly criminal justice benefits, decriminalize it, but medicinal may bring in a small amount of additional revenue, which is important. But I think for Peter and others, I want to cycle back to, if you're thinking of additional revenue, Just accessing the Medicaid expansion money will bring in $320 million of additional resources that we can turn around and invest in the people's health care in the state of Wisconsin. That's a huge amount of money, and it'll go a long way. You know, the thing that I'm reminded of here is that for both callers, Peter and Jeff, that you know, attending these listening sessions are important. We now have a budget out there. We want people to be part of it. We're going to be in Stevens Point this evening, and April 3rd, Tuesday the 3rd, at the UW Stevens Point at the Dreyfus Center from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Well, we have those details too, and I just want to get to back to the phones though. Governor Alex in Merrill has a question. Alex, hi.
Yes, hi. I was wondering what was in the budget for environmental protection, and if there was an increase from Walker's budget.
And absolutely.
Yeah, you declared this year the year of clean drinking water and dedicated money to lead pipes. How has that been received?
It's been received well. In fact, I think the speaker has put together a task force on this issue too, so it's obviously he has some interest. But yes, we are putting additional resources to make sure that every citizen in the state of Wisconsin can feel confident that they're drinking the water that's coming out of their tap is clean, and their children aren't going to be impacted by something negative in there. In addition, we're beefing up the Department of Natural Resources to make sure that they're in a position to inform legislators and people in the executive branch about the importance of science in making decisions. And so we're looking forward to that and investing in that department and also investing in water to make sure that our families are safe in Wisconsin.
Well, Kelly from Cascade called in to share that she moved here from Pacific Northwest, where all the states provided assistance to help farmers stay afloat. She moved back to Wisconsin and has seen farms disappear. She wants to know what you're committed to when it comes to helping farmers.
Well, we're working with folks from the University of Wisconsin and other institutions of higher learning. We at Economy.
And you're breaking up there. Governor, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes. Carry on.
Yes, I'm saying we're working with folks from the University of Wisconsin and other institutions of higher learning in Wisconsin to find the best way to make sure that our farmers are safe economically. This is a very difficult issue. Most farmers in the state, whether it's dairy farmers, whether they're large farmers or a family farm, they have done exactly what we've asked them to do, and that's embrace technology. And they have, and as a result, we have an overabundance of dairy products that more than the market can absorb. And so we have to figure out either to expand our markets or to diversify agriculture in the state to make sure that we're just not wholly dependent on dairy products, but other products that may be more diverse and more profitable for our farmers.
Let's talk manufacturing here for a moment, focusing on Kimberly-Clark and Foxconn. Kimberly-Clark is shutting its Neenah plant by the end of next month, and Foxconn news has been all over the board. How are you keeping manufacturing on track in the state?
Well, that's a great question. We're working with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to make sure that the Foxconns of the world, and I'll use them as a prime example, are doing what they need to do to make sure they meet the agreements that have been set out by the state government and the local municipalities. Our concern around Foxconn is being addressed. We now have somebody that monitors and works with them every single day, 24 hours a day, to make sure that we know exactly what their plans are and to make sure that over the long haul they communicate that appropriately with the people of the state of Wisconsin. Consistency and accountability for the taxpayers is our watchword on both of these issues, and we have to make sure that the agreements that WEDC are followed through.
Let's go to Paula now, joining us from rural Wapaka County. Paula, hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Quickly. My concern is internet access in rural counties, most specifically rural Waupaca County, because I don't see Waupaca listed on any of the lists of rural counties that are slated to get better internet. Our internet is expensive, slow, and limited, so that we run out at the end of the month unless we're very, very careful. I need it for my job, and I'm running around going to libraries and sitting in parking lots in order to do my job. And I feel like better internet would help economic development in rural Wisconsin.
So, Paula, concerned, Governor, about internet connection, about broadband. I know we just lost you there for a moment. Yep. What can you tell us about internet access in rural areas?
Sure. And we could probably talk about cell phone service, too, but I won't do that. We have doubled the amount of money that has been engaged in the issue of expanding broadband across the state. We're setting a goal by 2025 to have the highest level of broadband possible for everybody. It's not just you have broadband, but you can use it maybe once or twice a week. This is a top priority for economic development in northern Wisconsin, and frankly, our schools do interaction with kids at home. You name it, we have to do it. We've set aside lots of money and bonding for that money to make sure that that happens in Wisconsin. That's a top priority for us.
Governor, we're just about out of time here. A few seconds left. What keeps you up at night? What's the hardest part of your job 3 months in?
Oh, well, making sure that the people of Wisconsin, their needs, as they've described during the campaign and now during these listen sessions we're having across the state, are met. You know, it's one thing. I know that the representatives in the legislature represent the people that elect them, but I've been elected by all the people of Wisconsin, and during the listening sessions, this is what they told me they wanted, and we're going to do our best to make sure that it happens.
Governor Evers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day, Kate.
You too. Tony Evers, Governor of Wisconsin. He and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes will be at a listening session tonight at UW Stevens Point starting at 6 o'clock. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.